So we need to hit the ground running. So go ahead and open up if you have a copy of God's Word. And if you don't, I'd love you to be looking this morning. I'm going to look at my copy, and I want you to look at yours, and we'll look together at Proverbs 8 and 9. And it's really a tale of two voices. And in life, there are two voices calling out to us, the voice of wisdom and the voice of folly. Have you ever tried to have a conversation with two people at the same time? It's pretty hard, isn't it? It's impossible. You know, you're trying to talk to this person, and then you're trying to listen to the other person, then you turn, and you're going to finish up with this person, and you're trying to listen. It's impossible, isn't it? You can't really talk and really pay attention to two people at the same time. Really listen and really apply. You have to choose, right? And really, that's the story of life, and that's the story of wisdom. Every day, we have both wisdom and folly calling out to us, and we can't pay attention to both at the same time. And so really, the theme of today is, who are you going to listen to? Like, at the end of the day, who are you going to listen to? Because who you listen to is really going to shape, first, how you live, second, who you become, and really what you leave behind. Who are you going to listen to today? And so, you know, Solomon, these first nine chapters of Proverbs are really this call to wisdom. Wisdom's calling out, listen, listen, listen. As Solomon's called out like a father, will you listen, son? Like a mother, will you listen, daughter? All these chapters are really this selling point, this advertisement. Hey, wisdom is worth living, listening to. And so the last chapters are really the culmination of this call to wisdom. And so chapter 8 is going to be just this final call of wisdom. Okay, this is what I have to offer. And so it starts with, does not wisdom call? And so he's really going to be this last, hey, this is what wisdom has to offer. This last call of wisdom. And then chapter 9 is going to be on one side wisdom, on the other side folly, and this choice, who are you going to listen to? Really, that's really what it comes down to, right? Like, wisdom is out there. Wisdom is calling out. And really, the first thing we see this morning is if you don't get it, if you don't hear, if you're like, man, I just don't know what wisdom has to say, it's not wisdom's fault, because God's wisdom is readily available. And so look at the first four verses of chapter 8. It says, does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights beside the way, at the crossroads she takes her stand. Beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portal, she cries aloud. To you, O men, I call, and my cry is to the children of man. Like, do you get a theme here? Like, what is he saying? What is Solomon telling us? What is wisdom saying? Like, it's there. The wisdom call is very loud, and it is everywhere, and it is to everyone, right? Isn't that what he says? He says, does not wisdom call? And this is a rhetorical question. He's like, yes. The answer, if you don't get it by now in chapter 8, you've been going through all of this, does not wisdom call? The answer is yes. Does not understanding raise her voice, right? She's loud. She's not like whispering. You know, sometimes we have this view of God, like he has all this wisdom available and he's kind of like hiding it from you. Like, I don't know if I'm going to share it to you. Like, that's such a bad, really sad and not true view of God and view of wisdom, right? God does not hide his wisdom. Like, he wants you to know. And think about it like a father. You know, Jesus just really explains in Matthew 7, verse 7, it says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find, knock, and it will be opened to you. Everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, the one who knocks, it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? I think we have to know that. We have to realize and like really remember that. How much more? How much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? And so like if you're desperate for wisdom, if you're seeking God, like, God, please, will you give me wisdom? And again, like if we really study that passage in Matthew, the idea is like go and keep going, like ask, keep asking, seek and keep seeking. Like it's not just a one knock, it's like knock. It's like that persistent widow who keeps on going to the judge over and over. It's this idea, go until you get the answer. But go expectantly. Like if there's something that you need wisdom on today, you're like, God, I'm desperate. I have no idea. Go to him and remember, he is that father who wants to give it to you. And don't just go once, like keep on going. Remember James 1. I think we talked about this the very first time we stepped into Proverbs. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, okay, that's me, I need it, God. He says, let him ask God who gives generously to all without reproach, it will be given him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts will be like a wave of the sea that's driven and tossed by the wind. That person must not suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He's like a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. It's like, go in faith. Like, God, I believe you are a good father. If I keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking, you will give it to me. But if you don't get that answer, like, after church today, don't stop. Like, expect it, but keep on waiting and asking. God, I believe that you want me to know. And that first section is just this emphasis, like, wisdom wants you to know her voice, right? She raises her voice. It's loud. Notice all the different places. It says on the height, besides the way, at the crossroads, beside the gate, at the entrance of the portals. Like all these are important, obvious places where you just can't miss her, okay? And the point is, like, if you don't have wisdom, what's going on, right? And we have to start answering that question, like, what's going on? If I don't know what to do, I need to ask a few questions. Like, am I hungry for the Word? Like, if I'm not in the Word at all in the week, and then I say, like, well, God, I don't know what to do. Like, whose fault is that? Like, I need to get into this Word of wisdom, expecting that God's going to speak to me through His Word. Again, like, hungry for the Word. The love in Jesus' temptation of the wilderness, he reminds us that we need to be hungry for the Word like we're hungry for bread. Like, when we say, God, give me this daily bread, like, God, I need your Word every day like I need bread. Jesus answers Satan with the Word because he knows the Word. And it says, he answered, is it not written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And so first thing, like, if you don't know wisdom, you don't know what to do, like, get in the Word. And again, like, a lot of these answers are simple, but we skip over them. We expect, like, there's some other answer. No, God says, here's wisdom. Get in it. Get to know it. Go to it like you're going for your daily meal. Be hungry for the Word. Be desperate in prayer. Philippians reminds us, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts, your minds in Christ Jesus. So if, like, you don't hear wisdom's voice, like, are you praying? Like, are you praying to God, not just, like, at mealtime or, like, once a week, like, every day, like, desperate in prayer, like, I need wisdom, God, and I'm going to come to you, and I'm going to keep on coming to you until I get it. And maybe you're not desperate prayer. Maybe you're not open to listen. This is huge. We're going to talk about this more in chapter 9. But, like, this is so big, and I've seen it in my own life. And I'm sure you've seen it in your own life. Like, you go to God, like, I need an answer, and he gives you the answer. And you're like, man, God, I don't like that answer. Give me another answer. It gives you the same answer. It's like, oh, God, I don't like that answer. Please. And we're like, man, I need an answer. And he's given it to you over and over. Like, his words confirmed it. Your prayers confirmed it. Other believers have confirmed it. But you're expecting something else. And really, the idea is you're not listening. You're not listening. It's awesome. This week, I found this article. And go ahead and show that picture really quick. It says, I think it's Wisconsin. A man in Wisconsin removes the barrier of saying road closed and drives onto freshly poured concrete and gets stuck. And like, that's, man, isn't that so much like not just driving a truck and getting stuck, but that's life, right? Like God says, don't do this. We're like, well, I don't like the answer. We do it anyways. And then we're like, how did I get stuck? And like so much of wisdom and so much of life is really like God is clear. God has like said, road closed, do not enter. And it's not because he hates you or wants you to take the long way. It's not like the city of Nampa just, I don't understand why all these roads are closed. Like God says, this road's closed and this one's open. And we say, well, I don't understand what God wants me to do. We remove the barrier and walk right onto freshly poured concrete and we suffer for it. And we're like, well, I just didn't know what to do. Like if you're not listening and you're not open to it and you're not ready to apply it, then don't say wisdom wasn't speaking. Wisdom was loud and clear, but you didn't listen and you didn't choose to apply it. You know, I mentioned, you know, Jesus being that firm foundation, that solid rock. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, he talks about the foolish builder and the wise builder, right? We're talking about wisdom in Proverbs. What's the key difference, right? They both heard, but what does it say about the foolish builder? It says, everyone who hears my word, these words of mine, and does not do them. And that's so key to me because it says he hears them, right? You heard them. You heard the words. This foolish builder, the guy on the sand, built his house on the sand. He heard the words. But what did he not do? It says, does not do them. And that's so important. Like you can have all the wisdom. Wisdom is shouting out loud and clear. If you choose not to do it, it says you're like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came, or the rain fell, the floods came, the wind blew and beat against that house. It fell, and great was the fall of it. And so, man, don't say wisdom didn't speak. If you just hear it, and you don't apply it. Look down at the end of the chapter. So we're at the beginning of the chapter. Look at the end. I think it's really interesting. He kind of like bookends it with this call. Verse 32 says that, now sons, listen to me. Are you getting a theme? Blessed are those who keep my ways. Right? Not those who just hear, but those who keep. Like it doesn't matter if you hear it and it goes in one ear out the other. It's those who keep my ways that are blessed. Hear instruction and be wise. Do not neglect it. So I just want to ask you before we even move on, like has wisdom been calling out loud and clear? Like maybe these first 8, 9 chapters of Proverbs, you've been hearing wisdom. Like maybe especially on that chapter 6, God like spoke specifically about one of those issues. And like you heard it, but you haven't done anything with it. And so anything in these first chapters that you've heard, but you're just sitting on it, like do something with it. Wisdom doesn't do us any good if we just sit on it. And then as we continue through the book, like if you see something, don't sit on it, okay? We have like one big project left in our house. We got everything cleaned up for family, for friends, for the graduation dinner, but our garage, okay? Our garage is, it's like where everything goes to die, right? It's just a storing place, okay? So we just, like, where does this go? It goes in the garage. And I think so many times in life, like, we get all this wisdom. What are we going to do with it? I don't know. Let's just stick it in the garage. And it doesn't do us any good. There's stuff in our garage that's been sitting there for 8, 9, 10 years. Like, we need to do something with it. Like, use it or get rid of it, right? So I want to, like, is there anything you've just been sitting on? Like you've heard it, wisdom said it 100 times. Those wise people in your life have said, hey, this is important. You've ignored it. You've prayed and God through his Holy Spirit's revealed it to you. Scripture after scripture, the Bible studies you go to, they're all saying the same thing. Don't sit on it. Because look what it says. It ends with this like really solemn reminder. It says, blessed is the one who listens to me, yes, watching daily at my gates. Waiting, like this is this waiting, like really seeking God. And he reminds us, whoever finds me finds life. Yes, that's true. Obtains favor from the Lord, but he who fails to find me injures himself. And all who hate me love death. Like if you just sit on this wisdom and fail to apply it, it's like that guy who just drives onto the concrete. hey, at the end of the day, whose fault? So before we move on, wisdom's in calling it out. Maybe you haven't heard, maybe you haven't applied. It's not wisdom's fault. So why haven't you applied it today? So wisdom is calling out loud and clear. Wisdom is readily available. If we just move on, and there's a bunch of different points we'll go through, so it's not going to be 3 points. It's going to be a bunch of points, but look at verse 5. I love the next thing he says. It's this reminder that we don't have to stay stuck. Like today you're like maybe thinking like, yeah, I'm a fool. Yeah, I know it, but that's all I'll ever be. There's this lie of Satan. This lie of the world says who you are is who you will always be, right? That people don't really change. There's a saying, a leopard never changes his spots, right? And so many times we just buy that thing, like God really can't change me. Man, I've been a fool my whole life, and it's hopeless to ever think I could change. I love how verse 5 just comes in, and it says, oh, simple, it's this plea, simple ones, learn prudence, fools, learn sense. To me, as I was reading that, it's just that reminder that yeah, simple one, if I'm simple, I don't have to stay that way. I can grow. God can change me. He can use his word. If I'm the fool, I can learn sense. And so today, just in verse 5, maybe circle that if you've been just stuck saying, I can't ever change. Yeah, you might be simple. You might be that fool. But today, wisdom's calling out, it's crying out, and it's saying, you can learn prudence. You can learn sense. So will you? And so maybe it's a prayer to God, say, God, I don't want to be this anymore. Will you, through your Holy Spirit, through your word, through this body of believers, will you please do the work that only you can do and change me? Make me into that wise person. I know it's not going to happen in a day, but please help me learn prudence. Please, Lord, I know I'm a fool. Please help me learn sense. God's word reminds us that his wisdom is able to transform us. I love this powerful reminder in Philippians. It says, I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. So God's going to keep on working on you, and you're not going to grow from a fool to a wise person in 10 seconds. But keep seeking him, keep asking, keep knocking, keep pleading with him, keep looking and keep learning and keep applying. God can change you through his word. 6 through 13 is a cool reminder that his word, his wisdom is always true, it's always good, and it's always right. And I love it. Remember a couple chapters ago, it was this warning against being crooked in our speech. And he uses this imagery of crooked. The one who is crooked doesn't tell you the truth. They go around and twist. They don't tell you all of it, but they're really deceitful. They're crooked, right? And so he reminds us that God's always straight. He shoots straight. And so many times, like, we go in and we don't know, like, who can I trust? Like, who's going to just tell me the truth, nothing but the truth, and they're going to tell me the whole truth every single time, and they're going to tell me the truth for my good. And I love it. I'll just read through that whole section. It says, verse 6, hear, for I will speak noble things. For my lips will come what is right. My mouth will utter truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are righteous. There's nothing twisted or crooked in them. They're all straight to him who understands and right to those who find knowledge. Take my instructions instead of silver. Knowledge rather than choice gold, for wisdom is better than jewels. All that you may desire cannot compare with her. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. I find knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is the hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance and the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. What he's saying there is like everything evil I hate. Everything good I love. Everything wrong I won't tell you. Everything right I will share with you. And I will share you everything noble that is good. And I think that's so important to know, like, if you don't know what to do, there's one person that will never lie to you. That's God through his word. And so when wisdom speaks from God in his word, you can bank on it. I think that's important. Like, well, how do I know what is wisdom? How do I know what is truth? Because there's so many voices out there. Like, always line them up with the one thing that is completely straight, right? You go to Home Depot, and there's all these 2x4s, right? Are any of them straight? Like, it's hard to find a straight 2x4, and if you line them all, they're all a little crooked, a little twisted, a little bent, right? What God's Word says, this is straight. And if someone comes to you and you're like, I don't know if they're sharing wisdom, line what they're saying up with the one thing that you know is true. And wisdom says, like, I will always share the exact truth. Nothing crooked or twisted comes from me. And so what I think really comes to when we're hearing all these voices is, let's line them up with wisdom. Wisdom will never lie to me. And if wisdom is coming from someone else, if it lines up with God's word, then I can bank on it. If it's a little bit off, then I do not trust it. I always line it up with wisdom, because wisdom never lies. So just bank on it and line everything you hear and see and know up with God's wisdom. You can always count on it. Verses 14 through 21 is just this reminder, and we've talked a lot about it, like just all these rich blessings that wisdom is to us. It says, I have counsel and sound wisdom, I have insight, and I have strength. Okay, I love that. Like, sometimes, like, we want counsel, and the idea there is, like, someone to talk to and just, like, chew and spit on idea. Like, what should I do in this situation? Like, you can always go to wisdom, and wisdom, you can talk back and forth, hear from it, and you're going to walk away with a good decision. In the era of AI, this is the AI agent that you can trust, right? You can go back and forth with God's word, and it's not going to have all these, what do they call them, hallucinations, right? You go with any of these AI agents, and a lot of times they'll tell you some good stuff, and then they'll shoot out this just crazy stuff. And so God's word is saying, like, this is a blessing. You can go back and forth. Let's talk and let's share, and you're going to walk away with something good. Like, what are you trusting in? Like, always trust in God's word. So it's like the AI agent that you can always trust. Verse 15, like, whether you're making big decisions or small decisions, God's word has what you need. And sometimes we think, like, okay, with little decisions, that's okay. But like, with big decisions, does wisdom translate from the hugest things of life to the smallest things of life? Verse 15 tells us, by me, kings reign. Rulers decree what is just. By me, princes rule and nobles all who govern justly. The idea there isn't that every leader in life, we know this is true, they don't all apply wisdom, right? But what it says there is, if they do, it's going to work. It works, like, for me as an individual. It works for us as a church. It works for us as a nation. Like, if you apply wisdom to your company, if you apply wisdom to your parenting, if you apply wisdom to your national interests, it works, okay? And so, like, I just ask you, like have you had a situation where it's like, oh, wisdom doesn't apply here? Like, a wisdom applies to the biggest of bigs, right? Those who rule and rule with wisdom are able to make godly and wise decisions. It works at the highest level. If you invest in it, it's going to give you a good return. Verse 17 says, I love those who love me. Like, if you love wisdom, wisdom's going to love you back, right? The idea there is, it's going to give you a good return on what you pour into it. I love those who love me. Those who seek me diligently find me. He compares it to riches, right? Riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. And I think that's so true, that, like, good return on our investment. But even more, I love the second half of each of those phrases, riches and honor. Man, riches, you can buy riches, but can you buy honor? Like, the intangibles, those things that money can't buy, wisdom provides. Enduring wealth, okay, you can buy that, but righteousness, can you buy that? Like, it gives you those good things that money can't buy. Verse 20 says, I walk in the way of righteousness, in the path of justice, granting an inheritance. Wisdom's going to give you something that's going to last you and even outlast you. So I give an inheritance to those who love me, filling their treasuries. Just like that ant that has food stored away for difficult times. Wisdom is going to give you both the good thing that's going to outlast you, but also the security and the down payment that you need in hard times. So wisdom has good return. It's a rich blessing. This final section we'll talk about, we've already talked about 32 through 36, but I love this. Verse 22 through 31, I just called that wisdom is older than dirt. Wisdom is older than dirt. Listen to what it says. It says, "The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his work, at first of his acts of old. Ages ago I was set up, at the first before the beginning of the earth, when there was no depths I was brought forth, when there was no springs abounding with water, before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills I was brought forth, before he had made the earth with its fields, or the first of the dust of the world. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle in the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned the sea to its limit, so the waters may not transgress its command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, I was beside him like a master workman. I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world and delighting in the children of man." Okay, what is he saying there? Like, before creation even existed, creation was the outpouring of wisdom, right? It's saying there that all of God's works, all of creation was done in wisdom. That wisdom was the means that God used to create. All that God has created is so wise. And we see that in creation, right? Like, you can go on a hike and it's so beautiful, right? The mountains, you just see, man, this is an awesome creation God has created. And we see all the beauty and the grandeur, the amazement. You go to the beach and just look out at the vastness of the sea. It's like, this is awesome. But not just like awesome, amazing, like it's wise. Like you go down to the smallest of the smallest, right? Like just the DNA. It's a language, right? That the human organisms go according to this language, this wise word that God wrote into our existence. You see it in just like the placement of the earth, right? In the just right spot. There's wisdom in how God's created this world and this universe. Like, we see wisdom everywhere. You just go out and you look like, man, God, you know what you're doing. This is awesome, right? Just the ecosystems we see around us, how they're perfectly and finely tuned to really work right and really work over time. This is awesome and this is wise. Well, what's the point in just sharing? He's shared before about this. Like, yeah, God created this. This is a wise creation. Why does wisdom tell us this? I think it tells us, like, just like creation is like this testament, right? When you like want to get somebody to do something, say, hey, this is what could happen if you do this, right? I think you look out at creation like, this is what happens when someone applies wisdom to a task. Like, this is the greatest case. Like, why wouldn't we want to apply wisdom to our tasks, right? God's given you a creative mind. Maybe at work you create. God says, if you do it with wisdom, this is what you get. And so do it in your creations. Do it in your work. He worked for 6 days, rested on the seventh. Work wisely, because God has wisely created a world, and this is what happens when you work wisely. But not just that, I think overall it's a reminder to us as well, okay? Sometimes we forget that as God's creation, everything surrenders to wisdom, right? We think like, oh yeah, that works in the stars, but it doesn't work in my life. No, like, it's over all creation, right? If wisdom worked in creation of the stars, it works in the decision you have to make with a friend. If it worked in the DNA sequencing, and it's been working for a while, then it's gonna work in how you handle this problem. Okay, so wisdom, it works with all creation, so it's gonna work with your situation. So wisdom's older than dirt. It's been working. God used it, and he continues to use it. So what's the whole point of this chapter? I think he's saying, hey, wisdom's calling. Will you please listen? It's awesome. It's so beneficial. Look at what it can do. And this is a matter of life and death, right? That's what he ends with. Whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord, but he who fails to find me injures himself. All who hate me love death. The question is like, well, yeah, duh, like this is awesome. Why aren't I doing that? And you might be thinking like, maybe you haven't been living wisely. Like, what's going on? And so chapter 9 reminds us one of the big reasons we don't do this is we're not listening. We're not listening. And so chapter 9 really is that final reminder, who are you going to listen to? And so you've been maybe going through all these 8 chapters. We get to chapter 9, and it's saying like, at the end of the day, who are you going to listen to? And look at verses 1 through 6. Wisdom is going to call out. And the final section, 13 through 18, folly is going to call out. I think it's really interesting in how they call. Look at wisdom. It says, wisdom's built her house. She's hewn her 7 pillars. She's slaughtered her beasts. She's mixed her wine. She's set her table. She's sent out her young women to call from the highest places in the town. Whoever's simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense, she says, come, eat my bread, drink of the wine I've mixed. Leave your simple ways and live. Walk in the way of insight. I love that. Like what it's describing there is like wisdom has like done all the work to create this amazing feast. And she sends out all her maidens, like everyone's sending out invitations. Hey, come to this feast. Come to this feast. It's going to be this amazing meal. Okay? And it's more than just food. It's not just talking about food. It's like, hey, come and you will be richly rewarded if you sit at the table of wisdom. Come on. Like, don't wait. Whoever's simple, like if you're needing wisdom, come to the meal, right? And this invitation. But the sad reality is not everyone's going to come to the meal. Like this is an amazing meal she's prepared. Sent out all the invitations. Everyone's invited, but many people don't come. In fact, sometimes we come, but we leave the meal early, right? Like you've applied wisdom, and then all of a sudden you're like, I'm going to live foolishly. And you go off on the wrong direction. What's going on? Well, at the very same time she's provided this amazing meal, someone else is calling out to us as well. Verse 13 says, the woman folly is loud. She's seductive and knows nothing. I love that. Knows nothing. And that's the sad reality, but we don't see it, right? Because she's loud and seductive. And so she is like so good at what she does is she calls out to us, and even though she has nothing to offer us, gets us to come to her meal. Why do we go? Because she is really good at illusion. She has nothing to offer. There's nothing there, but she is so good at tricking us that we can even walk over to her table and join her meal thinking we're doing the right thing. Right? Remember, we've talked about this verse a few times, but Proverbs 14:12 says, there's a way, and notice it says, that seems right. Like you can be walking towards this meal that folly has provided, and you think you're going to the right meal. It seems right to you, but its end is the way to death. And so she is so good at illusion, she says, like, I have something amazing to offer. Come to my table. And we come, but what does it have at the table? It says she sits at the door of her house, verse 14. She takes the seat on the highest place of the town. Again, just like wisdom, she's calling out very loud everywhere. This is calling to those who pass by who are going straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense, she says, stolen water is sweet. The bread eaten in secret is pleasant. He does not know that the dead are there, that our guests are in the depths of Sheol. Again, just like when we fall after adulteress, we think we're going to what will give us life, and we end up going to our own funeral. Man, how does she trick us? Like, who would show up to this meal? And again, it's so crazy because wisdom has provided this amazing feast. What does folly have for us? Stolen water and bread eaten in secret, okay? So you can go to this amazing feast with wine and food, all this amazing things. You can go with, what do you have? Okay, what's at the meal? Well, we have some stolen water. You can't really enjoy stolen water, right? And you don't really know what's in it. Bread eaten in secret. It's not like you can't really enjoy it, right? We have some bread and some water, but it's stolen water. It's bread eaten in secret. Like, she has nothing to offer us. And my big question in this chapter is like, man, they're both loud. They're both calling out. How do I know which one to listen to? And maybe you've been in that spot where like, you really are struggling. Like, who do I listen to? This sounds really good, but this sounds really good too. And I don't trust myself, and that's good. You shouldn't trust yourself. Like, don't trust in yourself. Trust in the Lord, right? Well, how do I know? Because the interesting thing is they start off with the exact same phrase, right? What's their call? Look at verse 4. Whoever is simple, this is what wisdom says. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. Whoever's simple, let him turn in here. What does it say in verse 16? Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. Like, they start off with the exact same phrase, okay? But it goes in two different directions, right? You don't just start there and end there. What does wisdom say? Verse 5. Come eat of my bread, drink of the wine that I've mixed. Leave your simple ways and live, walk in the way of insight. Again, you got to follow every single thing she says. And folly, she often starts in the right direction, but that's not the whole story. Because what does folly say? She starts with the same thing. She says, whoever is simple, let him turn in here. The exact same phrase, but then it says, to him who lacks sense, she says, stolen water is sweet. Stolen, wait. That's where we said, like, why should we eat stolen water? What did wisdom have to offer us? She said, come eat of my bread. She didn't say anything about stolen, and drink of the wine that I've mixed. And folly says, the bread eaten in secret is pleasant. I should be like, why do we have to eat this in secret? It's probably because it's stolen as well, right? And so I think that the key there is, like, you got to listen to all that she says and line it up with what you know. Really, really, when I was thinking about it, like, it really comes down to really knowing someone's voice. Like, they're both loud, right? They're both obvious. They both make amazing offers, but only one's telling the truth. It reminds me really of what Jesus says in John 10 as he calls himself the good shepherd. He says, I'm the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. You know, shepherds in that day knew their sheep. They would be able to tell their sheep, but they're also their sheep would know their voice. Like, they knew, they heard, oh, this is my shepherd. I'm going to him. They knew the inflection. They knew the vocal tones. They knew which voice to listen to. That's why later in the chapter it says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So, like, the real question is, like, do I know wisdom's voice? Because, like, they're both yelling at me. They're both shouting. Do I know wisdom's voice, and can I tell the voice of folly? Again, it's simple, but it's hard, right? Where do you learn the voice of wisdom? Well, the God of all wisdom, like, wisdom comes from him. He is the God of all wisdom. You only know wisdom's voice by knowing the word. Line everything up with the word. And it's not going to happen just on Sunday mornings. I hope that your time in the word is so much greater in the week than just on Sunday morning with me. Like, I hope you're in it every day. I hope you're reading it. I hope you're listening to it. I hope that you're talking about it. Like, the only way that we're going to learn wisdom's voice is to learn the voice of the shepherd. And so when I hear a voice, I can line it up and say, you know what? That's a little bit off. Because folly, she said a few things right, but then she's stolen water. Wait, stolen. That doesn't line up. Bread eaten in secret. No, I'm not going to that party. I know that that's where dead people go. I'm not going to that party. So I want to just ask you, like, what voices have you been listening to? And oftentimes they're a mix of wisdom and folly, right? Can you line them up with the voice of the shepherd? Can you line them up with the God of all wisdom? Man, we got to line up every single thing. You have to line up what I say this morning. We need to line up everything we hear with the God of all wisdom. And how do we know his wisdom? His eternal word. And so, like, line up every single thing you hear with the word. The word is the wisdom. The word is the logos. We need God's word, we need God's wisdom. So line up, listen, and hear. You get to know the word, and you get to know the voice. And then you can listen, you can hear, that's not the voice I know. That's not God's voice. I know whose voice that is. So I think that's the big key, learning to know the voice of God. God's going to always speak to you what is true. You can always line it up. What's the other thing? I mentioned it earlier. It's really interesting, and we'll end with this, verses 7 through 12. Because, again, it's like this one call on the wisdom, one call of folly. But verses 7 through 12, like, it's just sandwiched in there. And I was like, well, what does that have to do with the call of wisdom and the call of folly? And I think really what it tells us is one of the main reasons, besides just knowing the vocal intonations, but between the knowing the call, it's the biggest reason why we don't follow the right voice. Look what it says. It says, whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse. Whoever reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The knowledge of the Holy One is insight. For me, your days will be multiplied. Years will be added to your life. If you are wise, you will are wise for yourself. If you scoff, you alone will bear it. Okay, what does that have to do with these two women calling my name? I think what he's saying here is, look at those two people of contrast, right? On one side, he has the scoffer and the wicked man, right? He says, whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse. Whoever reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer or he'll hate you. Okay, and we've all experienced that, right? Like you see someone and it's like, man, they are about to run into this road that has been newly cemented, right? This is wet concrete. Don't go out there. You tell them that and they beat you up for it. You're like, what? I was trying to help you. And they go out onto that concrete and fall into it because it's wet, right? Like we've always all experienced being on that side. And what I think he's saying there is like, you can give a fool wisdom. And what's going to come out of it? You're going to get beat up for it, right? All that truth that you're trying to correct them, you're trying to reprove them, like you love them and want good for them. You're giving them wisdom, and what's the result? They hate you. They beat you up. They hate you, and it doesn't do them any good. I think it's just like what Jesus said, like the foolish man, right? He built his house on the sand. What is he like? It's like the person who hears the word, but they don't do anything with it. Like, what you get from that person is abuse, and they suffer, and you suffer, right? But someone who will hear, someone who is able to listen, what do? He contrasts it. It says, look, reprove a wise man, and he'll love you. Like, we all love to give instruction and help someone who will take it and apply it, right? They love you. And he goes on, and on that side, he says, give instruction to a wise man, he'll still be wiser, right? When you give him the exact same thing that you gave the wicked and the scoffer, what happens? They love you, and they grow more wiser. They take it, they apply it, and they live in wisdom. He says, teach a righteous man, and he'll increase in learning. And then it says at the very end, if you're wise, you're wise for yourself. If you scoff, you alone will bear it. I think it's this question, like, at the end of the day, can you be taught? Can you listen? Can you humble yourself? Because the reality is, if you can't humble yourself, if you're too prideful to listen, wisdom isn't going to do you a single thing. It's going to be just that famous phrase, goes in one ear and comes out the other. You're going to remove the barriers every single time in your life. You're going to suffer for it, and you're going to blame everybody else when you're stuck in wet concrete. That's what we see, and we've done that, right? We've heard the warning, don't do it, don't do it. We've done it. And I want every single person here, I want this to be me, that when I finally realize, man, I need God's wisdom, that I humble myself enough to listen. Enough to listen to God and his word, enough to listen to the Holy Spirit when he convicts me, enough to listen to my brother or my sister when they come to me and they correct me and they reprove me. It really comes down to pride, right? That's what gets in the way of wisdom each and every time in our lives. Going back to chapter 8, remember what he said to us? Look at verse 13. The fear of the Lord is the hatred of evil, pride and arrogance, and the way of evil. What hates wisdom? Pride. What does wisdom hate? Pride. They are incompatible. Pride and wisdom don't mix. So how do you do when someone comes to you? Like, that's the real test, right? If someone says, hey, I think you ought to do this. Again, they might be right. You need to match up their voice with the voice of wisdom, right? They might be right, they might be wrong, but will you humble yourself? Do you at least listen? Do you at least consider? Or do you attack those who come to you? Like, when God's word comes to you, do you flip the page? Do you attack? Do you abuse him when he tries to give you his wisdom? Pride will not listen. And who suffers in the end? Yeah, we beat up the people who try to give us wisdom, but we, it says verse 12, if you scoff, you alone will bear it. You are the one to blame if you don't have wisdom. So again, looking back at chapter 1 through 9, is there anything that God has said to you in Proverbs? Or maybe just in your time in the Word this week or this month, that you're like, yeah, I don't know about this. Like, God's been really clear. It's not that you haven't heard his voice, but you are too prideful to listen. You're like, yeah, that applies to those people, but it doesn't apply to me. I can handle this. I know they can't, but I can. Has God been really clear, but you're waiting for a different answer? Like, today, would you humble yourself? God's word says it so clearly. God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Humble yourself, and God will exalt you in due time. It really comes down to, God, I want your voice. Will you teach me your voice? And will you teach me humility? Because guess what? This side of heaven, none of us are perfect, and we won't be. We need wisdom day after day. We need it like daily bread. And we need to be corrected. We need to be made straight. And so will you humble yourself to listen to wisdom? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for being with us this morning. Thank you for being with us before the foundation of the world. It says you loved us before you even created us. So we thank you for your eternal love. We thank you for your eternal faithfulness. That you will never, ever fail. And so, God, I pray for my brothers and sisters today. I pray for myself today. Would you give us the wisdom that we need for today? Tomorrow, will you give us the wisdom that we need for tomorrow? For the big decisions, will you reveal them to us? For the little decisions, will you make your ways known? That we can walk with the wise, that we can grow in wisdom, that we can hear and know your voice, and that we can humble ourselves before you. We thank you so much for just providing us your eternal word, Lord. It is so good, so true, so right. Please make us straight, make us right, make us good. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'll sing one last song. We're going to sing Build My Life. Just that reminder that there's only one solid foundation. So let's build our lives on him. Let's sing to him.